The views and opinions expressed during this show are those of the hosts and guests only. In no way do they represent the views, positions, or opinions expressed or implied of WGSO 990 AM or North Shore Radio, LLC.
Nothing to do to save his life, call his wife and nothing to say but what a day, how's your boy been? Nothing to do, it's up to you. I've got nothing to say but it's okay.
And welcome to another edition of Ringside Politics with a Punch and your host, Jeff Truaire. Jeff has 18 years of broadcast experience under his conservative belt. He's the host of Ringside Politics with a Punch, writes for townhall.com, and has a new book, America's Last Chance. Jeff even has his own YouTube channel. But even with all that going on, he hasn't forgotten you, the listeners, the ones who opine weekdays right here on WGSO. Call Jeff Truaire now at 556-9696.
All right, we're back. And I want to thank Michelle Hurstis for being with us earlier. Also, our other great guest, Kathy Edmondson, for checking in, the Gulf Coast Patriot. And we're going to have another great guest segment in a minute. I want to squeeze in a quick call or two first at 504-556-9696. We've been conducting our open line here on the program. And let's welcome our friend Bernard joining us from NOLA. Hey, Bernard, what's happening? Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Jeff. I want to congratulate Greg Norman on the live tour. Did you hear the top of the our news? They're combining with the PGA. And the reason I say congratulations, it shows that these woke institutions can be moved by a little force, whether it's through the courts or through protest or so on and so forth. And congratulations. I'm so glad to see that because, you know, they were trying to say the Live Tour was an inferior product and this and that, and they were trying to just keep it from growing from the very beginning, and that's good news.
What is the merger going to entail? I mean, so all the Live events are now going to be incorporated into the PGA? I mean, so how?
Well, I don't know, but it seems like they caved, and that's the most important part. You know, they'll work those details out in the next year or so. I mean, you know, it's just not going to happen overnight. Let's face it. And but you know what? It's a good sign for golf, and because you know, golf is just stuck in its ways, and it needed a little shake up. And
well, it's also good news for Phil Mickelson. He was the guy who sort of pushed it more than anybody. He took a lot of abuse for going out on that tour. A lot of abuse.
And these players did so well in these major tournaments in the last, these Live players have done so well in the PGA tournaments. They expected these Live players just to, you know, they were old and they didn't have any more gas in the tank and so on and so forth. Not true. And
Mickelson came in second in the Masters and Koepka just won the U.S. Open, right?
Just won the PGA. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And Mickelson won the PGA year before last, I believe it was now.
Right. Yeah.
So,
right.
Yeah, it is what it is, and I'm glad because competition is good.
And the PGA was definitely woke, as all these sports leagues are. Very woke, no doubt. Yeah.
Yes, they are.
So, we'll see what happens. Good.
All right,
my friend. Anything else you got?
Well, right. I just want, if you got a second, I'd like to talk about that teenager who died in City Park, Bell Cannon.
Okay. Yeah, you got a minute? What do you want to share on that?
People out there, go to NOLA or go to WWL and read the story. And there's just a lot of holes in the story. It doesn't seem plausible. I mean, the mother said, it's nobody's fault. Her daughter got killed. She got ran over by a bus. No, it's somebody's fault she got killed, unless she jumped in front of the bus. And there's just a bunch of things in this. Oh, by the way, she went to that International School of Louisiana, which you've had numerous callers over the years talking about that school because it's a propaganda school, and I'm not saying it's not a terrific school, but it's a place where they make these people for the future who are going to be future leaders and so on and so forth. Movers and shakers, so to speak, and
right.
she attended there, and then she was going to go, well, she was at Newman, too. But I just wanted to say there's something that still smells, okay. And people look at it, and they didn't arrest the driver. It's bizarre.
Odd. That's odd. That is odd. It's
very bizarre. It looks like a PSYOP almost.
Okay, I'll check it out, my friend. I'll check it out on one of these sites. Okay, interesting. Thank you, Bernard. Appreciate you, sir. And, yeah, we'll see what's going to happen with the whole golf merger. One more call, and then our special guest is going to be joining us, Mark from Metairie. You have the floor. Mark from Metairie, how are you? Good morning.
Great, sir. And yourself, how you doing?
Very good, my friend. Long time no hear. How you been?
Well, I'm listening to you guys. I listen every morning. You know, I'm going to be brief. Talking about the PGA, you know, merging with, I guess, Saudi Arabia, you know, just remind, well, get ready for global, you know, global basketball, global football, global soccer. We already have global soccer. So, you know, everything is, you know, basically getting set up for the New World Order. I'm sure you know this. And this go all the way back, to, you know, to Jesus' time, right? And when we look at the Rothschild family, right, we have the House of the Rothschilds, right? And they're launching this along with the House of Victoria, Queen Victoria. You know, British. You know what British means? Brit. You know what Brit means?
Yeah, I think so. Tell us.
Well, Brit means covenant, and it means man. The British think they're the covenant of the world. So when you look at the British and, you know, United States backing them up, you know, they are moving this world towards, as you guys always say, you know, we're heading towards the pit of hell. That's all I wanted to say, my man. Look, heads up, and y'all, you know, stay bright. Have a great day.
All right, my friend. Good to hear from you, Mark and Metairie. When we come back, special guest going to be checking in with us, Dr. Randy Russ. And, of course, we always look forward to visiting with him on Tuesdays. He'll update us on what's going on and a big court case that he's involved in. We'll get the latest. So keep it right here on Ringside. Jeff Cruer with you. We'll be right back. It's Jeff Cruer. After 21 years on the air and 21,000 interesting guests, I'm still fired up to host the Ringside Politics program. I take on all sides, take on the mainstream news media, the deep state, those who want to destroy our country. If you support this fight, I'd love for you to come on board as a sponsor of our show. You can reach our great audience and help sustain a program that will never be part of the liberal media. To participate, contact me at jeff@wgso.com. Thanks for your support. Hey folks, it's Jeff Cruer. Let me tell you about the best pizza in New Orleans. It's New York Pizza, home of the Big Apple, the delicious Snooey Bread, and the Pint and Slice. It's located at 4418 Magazine Street in New Orleans, and on June the 9th, they'll be celebrating their 43rd anniversary with the Laugh Challenge. If you can make the owner of New York Pizza, Wayne Del Corral, or his mom, Gail Del Corral, laugh, you could win $4,300. That's $100 for every year that New York Pizza has been in business. Join us for an event that we hope to be in the Guinness World Book of Records and raise money for three great nonprofit organizations, WGSO Radio, Grace at the Green Light, and Animal Rescue New Orleans. So mark your calendar for June 9th for the Laugh Challenge at New York Pizza. I'll be broadcasting live there that day. So come try to make the Del Corrales laugh, have some fun, support a great cause on June 9th at the Laugh Challenge at New York Pizza, 4418 Magazine Street, New Orleans. See you there.
Located just two blocks from the famous French Quarter, Hotel Storyville is your best choice for an all-suites hotel boutique experience. Enjoy with friends at our Tiki Bar and Mermaid's Lounge, or relax in our beautiful tropical garden. Visit nearby New Orleans attractions, vibrant local music venues, and great neighborhood restaurants. For more information on our accommodations and special events, visit hotelstoryville.net.
All of us want to find affordable insurance tailored to our unique needs. Whether it's homeowners, flood, auto, or business insurance, the place to go is Foundation Insurance Group. Their team of experienced independent insurance agents will give you your insurance options and quotes for the best rates available. Foundation Insurance Group is an independent, locally owned insurance agency based right here in River Ridge. They're your neighbors who worry about floods, hurricanes, lawsuits, and car accidents on I-10 just like you do. When you work with them, you're not an account number. You're a valued customer, a local who deserves personal, honest service and professional guidance. Whether it's auto, homeowners, commercial, or flood, Foundation Insurance Group are your neighbors who understand you're a vital part of our local community. For more information, call 504-304-6143 or visit foundationinsgroup.com.
Hey, here's a question for you. If a man chooses to be identified as a woman, does he still have to pay attention to every word that she says? Well, hey, we don't care. But both of you are welcome to air your thoughts right here on Ringside Politics. You can blow your horn or shoot that bird, but face it, will that really make any difference? No. What really bugs you? We want to hear from you. And Ringside Politics, call us at 556-9696.
All right, we're back. And, you know, we've been, of course, talking about all these important issues. And number one, according to the listeners of this program and the viewers of the program and our readers, is election integrity. So we talk about it every week with our next guest who is joining us. He has a PhD in marketing, 30 years of professional leadership, served as a professor of marketing for over a decade, done a lot of important research on issues including corporate fraud. But since November of 2020, what has he been doing? Hundreds and thousands of hours of investigating and speaking on election corruption. And he's part of the nationwide network of patriots concerned about election integrity. So we welcome back for an update our friend Dr. Randy Russ with us here in the Ringside Politics program. Hey, Dr. Randy, how are you?
Hey, Jeff, I'm great. I'm on the road coming back from speaking at Shreveport and Bossier City yesterday, so I pray that the cell phone signal will hold up.
Well, so far so good. So thank you for your work and crisscrossing the states and certainly sharing some time with us this morning. So last week we didn't have a chance to visit with you, and I think there was a hearing that you're involved in. So fill all our listeners in if you
sure, can. Sure. You know, we have been told by the Secretary of State and election officials around the state that there's no problem with our voter rolls and that they're 99% plus accurate and that we should trust the process. But our work over the last 2 years has demonstrated that our voter rolls have significant problems and that state and federal law are not being followed. So one out of five voters, we estimate, on our voter rolls, we have reason to believe that they are ineligible, or in fact some of them are actually illegal. So out of frustration, after trying to work with the Secretary of State for a couple of years, we were left with no choice but to file suit in the 19th Judicial District in Baton Rouge against the Secretary of State to do what should already be done, which is to follow the law, which requires that the voter rolls be properly maintained. That is both state and federal law. So the hearing, was last Tuesday, and that's why I couldn't join the show.
So two examples come to mind, and of course you're the expert on this, but I know that you organized a bunch of volunteers. You went and canvassed in Ascension Parish. If I'm not mistaken, you found about 20% of the names on the voter rolls to be inaccurate. 20% of the names were problematic. Then you fast forward to the Orleans Parish effort to recall LaToya Cantrell, and those organizers found tens of thousands of names on the voter rolls that shouldn't have been there. In fact, one of the organizers said that one of their experts believed that, you know, instead of a voter roll with approximately 250,000 names, it should really only be about 180,000 So we're talking about 70,000 that shouldn't be on there. So it was so bad, the Secretary of State agreed to take some off, and they wrangled about it. And I think it might still be decided in court. But of course, the effort failed. Part of it was because the requirement was so high based on the inaccurate voter rolls. So we know that they're inaccurate, and we know that there are already laws on the books mandating that they keep them cleaned up. So what's the problem? The Registrar of Voters, the Secretary of State, both, Dr. Randy?
Well, the Secretary of State, is partly responsible for this under the law, to provide direction and services to the registrars of voters, like providing them with national change of address data, which when a citizen moves out of state, the post office figures that out and can provide a list, which we've accessed as citizens. We've accessed these lists from the Postal Service on a half dozen occasions over the last 2 years to check our voter rolls to see who's moved out of state. So it's a combination of responsibility between the Secretary of State's office and the Registrar of Voters to conduct an annual canvass of all registered voters in the parish to determine those who have moved, those who are deceased, those who have been married and changed their name, so on and so forth. Of course, death certificates. And quite frankly, the law is not being followed, and that's why we went to court. An interesting anecdote, Judge Tobias, who did not rule to dismiss the case and has not ruled yet on standing, he made an anecdotal mention that his daughter moved to California in 2002, and she's still on Louisiana's voter rolls. So right there in the court, you have the presiding judge affirming, in a sense, that he's aware that there is a problem with our voter rolls.
So the next question is this, Dr. Randy. We know the voter rolls are a mess. We know that it is just filled with people that have moved, that have died, fictitious names, multiple registrations, etc. How many of these fraudulent names on the voter rolls are being voted by people that are corrupt? Do we know how many of these are turning into votes?
We have evidence from our physical canvas in Ascension Parish. We don't know exactly percentage-wise, but I can give you an example. Abandoned homes are a classic place that votes can be cast for people who no longer are there. So we found, for example, multiple abandoned homes and properties in Ascension Parish. One example that comes to mind, 9 registered voters in an abandoned home confirmed by the neighbor. The home was padlocked and empty for years. 3 votes were registered in the 2020 election from that home. So what we believe is the proper course of action is, of course, for the Secretary of State to stop fighting citizens in Louisiana and work with us and work with our registrars locally to canvass physically these likely addresses and get these rolls cleaned up.
Well, I mean, that's a no-brainer. That's got to be done, and it should be priority number one. So what's the timeline in court, and how is this going to impact our upcoming election, Dr. Rennie?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'll take the how's it going to impact our elections. You know, some folks are not happy with us because they say it's an election year. Why are you bringing this up? You know, you're causing trouble. We've been working on this since November 4th, 2020, and the Secretary of State and his team are well aware of these problems in the voter rolls. So we're very sorry that no action was taken. But we have to protect the citizens of Louisiana and their voting rights, and we don't trust the process. So when this comes out of court, when it's resolved, we don't know. But so far, last Tuesday, the judge also recommended, and we've followed up on this,
he said that it would be really good if we included a statewide candidate in the lawsuit, if one would join us. So we've sent a letter from our attorney to all the Secretary of State candidates, declared candidates, and all the Attorney General declared candidates, asking them to join us and support the effort to clean up Louisiana's voter rolls. So far, we've heard from one candidate for Secretary of State who is enthusiastic about joining us in this suit.
And I can guess that that would be Brandon Trostclair, correct?
That would be Mr. Brandon Trostclair. And we're hopeful that others will join us. But, you know, it'll say a lot if they don't, that they believe in the status quo. They believe in trusting the process, and they accept dirty voter rolls.
What about also the governors? What about the gubernatorial candidates? Because they could play a big role in getting this fixed as well.
Sure. We haven't sent them an invitation to join the suit, but that is something that we're discussing with our attorneys.
Go ahead. Because, I mean, I think that could be another important player. I mean, if we get the right attorney general, the right secretary of state, the right governor, then we can really have some positive action about this and get some movement. So
That's correct.
You got one. You got Brandon Trostclair. At least one of them has agreed to take up this challenge. Good.
So the next hearing with Judge Tobias in the 19th JDC in Baton Rouge is a hearing on standing. And for the listeners, standing means it doesn't rule on the merits of the case, whether the law has been followed or not. That's what we're really asking the court to decide. It rules on whether the plaintiffs, which would be Louisiana Citizens for Election Integrity, John Scanlon and myself as voters, registered voters in the state, and hopefully Mr. Trostclair and other statewide candidates, the judge will rule whether that entity and those individuals are legally qualified to sue under the law. And so that hearing, we're hoping, will be in the next few weeks. So this case was filed under an expedited procedure called mandamus. So it's required under the law that it be moved along very quickly. And obviously that's important because we have an election coming up. The primary is in October, so time is ticking right now.
So we basically have 4 months, correct, Dr. Randy,
that's
for action
right.
to be taken on this?
That's right. And you know what's funny, Jeff, is in a House Governmental Affairs hearing a few weeks back, First Assistant Secretary of State Nancy Landry admitted to the committee that they have found over 180,000 questionable voters on the voter rolls. So it's not in dispute that there are problems in the voter rolls. What's troubling is for the last few years, up until very recently, the Secretary of State and his people were going around the state claiming that the voter rolls were 99% plus accurate. And now they've
right.
changed their tune in public in the legislature. And so we can't understand why they're fighting us on this, why they won't sit down and negotiate and come to some terms to get these rolls cleaned up. Because, as I said, they're telling us to trust the process, but the process is broken.
Now, other states have had to do this. I think Judicial Watch has been successful in suing states such as California and New York, and they've had massive numbers of names removed from voter rolls that were inaccurate.
That's correct. The most recent one is L.A. County in California. Judicial Watch sued them, and they were forced to remove 1.2 million registered voters in one county, L.A. County, which is a big county. So it's simply not believable what our election officials are telling us.
that we don't have any problems with elections. And now the Secretary of State's office is admitting it to the legislature.
Right.
Judicial Watch, we were in contact with them to see if they would participate, but they have their hands full with a number of matters around the country. But they've been successful in North Carolina, Pennsylvania, New York, California, Michigan, and other states. And so we modeled what we're doing after their good work around
good.
The country.
Good. Well, I mean, you're doing such incredible work. We're really pleased to have you on weekly to update us on these matters. Best to you and John Scanlon and all the people you're working with. I hope every one of these candidates responds favorably and will promise to get involved in this and push this issue. They should. And at least you've got one statewide candidate. So that meets the requirement or the request of the judge, right, Dr. Rand?
That's correct. That's correct.
Yeah. So that's good.
But we'll also be able to report. We'll also be able to report to the judge that these candidates were contacted and they did not feel motivated or compelled to support cleaning up Louisiana's voter rolls,
which should raise suspicions. So
exactly.
when this is all said and done, I'd love you to share that information as to who responded favorably and who did not.
Sure.
Thank you so much. We look forward to visiting
you,
with you next Tuesday. Dr. Randy Russ with us, updating us on a very important hearing, and we certainly wish them well. When we come back, someone who was very instrumental in the fight for freedom in Canada, the author of Hold the Line, one of those that was involved in that trucker convoy. Tamara Leach is going to be joining us next right here on Ringside on WGSO. We'll take a brief time out. We'll be right back.
Network. I'm Tika Fox. A House bill giving police the power to tell you stay back while they do their job wins final legislative passage in the state Senate. Among those opposed was Democratic Senator Royce DePlessis of New Orleans, who says the bill is potentially unconstitutional because of the question of distance. He says it is also already addressed in state law.
We currently have a law on the books, revised statute 14, Title 14, 329, interfering with a law enforcement investigation.
The measure passed by a 29-10 vote. Attorney General candidate and Crowley Representative John Stefanski's bill to increase the penalties for fentanyl possession received final passage and awaits the governor's signature. But LSU Law Center criminal law professor Dr. Ken Levi says it's simply a repeat of the war on drugs from the 80s.
The whole drug industry and will prevent addiction, will prevent overdoses. Well, it didn't work at all. And all it did is lead to mass incarceration.
For the first offense of possession of 250 grams or more, the penalty is life in prison. LRN.
Louisiana Secretary of State, Kyle Ardoin.
Get ready to go vote, Louisiana. I'm Louisiana Secretary of State, Kyle Ardoin. This fall, Louisiana will conduct elections for our new governor, other statewide offices, and our full legislature. I'm reminding you to visit govote.com or download our award-winning GoVote app to register to vote, make changes to your registration, sign up for election alerts, and learn more about what will be on your ballot. Louisiana's elections are among the most secure in our country, and we want to keep you informed ahead of this important election. Remember, if you don't vote, you can't make a difference in our futures. Visit GEAUXVOTE.com or download the GoVote smartphone app today. This is Secretary of State Kyle Ardoin reminding you, get ready to go vote, Louisiana.
Tragically, countless lives and souls have been lost through the chastisements plaguing the world, from which Our Lady could have spared us. The world continues to build up a tremendous debt, not just financially, but above all morally, provoking the justice of God, and there will be a terrible price to pay for it if we do not invoke Our Lady in the precise way shown to us by heaven, to intervene on our behalf with the inestimable merits of her Immaculate Heart. Learn the truth at Fatima.org.
Hey, Mimi, we're moving.
Moving to Wednesdays at 5.
You can check out He Said, She Said on a new day.
Hump Day.
A new day, but we'll still be discussing and debating the hot topics.
And take your phone call.
You can listen to us on 990 AM WGSO, WGSO.com.
And find out who's right. Of course, that's me.
No, of course, that's me. I've been doing this 23 years, Mimi.
Practice makes perfect.
So you see, we'll have plenty to talk about on He Said, She Said.
Wednesdays at 5.
Right here on WGSO.
Been an investigation based on suspicions that there could have been involvement in tampering in the key parts of that suspected report. If any of that makes any sense to you, man, you're in the right wing of that bird. The mainstream media is at it again, and they've got the facts that might not be right and the opinions that you don't need. Well, what we do need right here now at Ringside Politics is you. Opine with us. All you got to do is call Jeff Cruer now at 556-9696.
All right, we're back. And, boy, you knew folks at, in 2022. I was a big supporter of what was going on with the Truckers Freedom Convoy in Canada. And we saw what happened there with the brutal crackdown from that tyrannical government there, that prime minister who is mandate crazy. Well, one of the ones involved in this and was a very instrumental and organizer of the Truckers Freedom Convoy has now written a book. It's called Hold the Line, My Story from the Heart of the Freedom Convoy. Tamara Leach is joining us here on the Ringside Politics program. And Tamara, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning, Jeff. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm doing really well. Thank you.
Well, let me just tell you, I'm proud of you and everyone who was involved in that. It's just amazing that you received so much support from all over, really, Canada and all of the United States. But what a brutal crackdown that occurred from the government. So maybe we could start from the beginning and tell our listeners how this whole convoy, this whole protest, got started.
Sure. Well, I had been, for myself, I had been paying attention right from the start, and I was becoming very concerned as I saw our prime minister becoming more and more unhinged as he was talking about, you know, vaccinated versus unvaccinated and the Met locking us down. And at the time the convoy started, they were actually discussing at the federal level of ceasing interprovincial travel. And I was born across the prairies. I was born and raised across the prairies of Canada, and I've got family in all provinces. So you know, these were the big concerns for me, what was happening to my fellow countrymen and women. I contacted Chris Barber. He had put a TikTok out about doing a nationwide, just a shutdown on January the 23rd. And he had contacted some other truckers. Bridget Belton was one of them. And they had discussed doing slow rolls or possibly a convoy to Ottawa. So I contacted Chris because I felt like I needed to do something. And I said, look, my background is logistics, organization, and administration. You're going to need social media. You're going to need some funds. What can I do to help you? And that was basically how it all started.
And, I mean, it grew. I mean, were you surprised at how quickly and how powerful it became?
Shocked. We were shocked. Obviously, our message resonated with, as you said in your intro, not just our own country, but around the world. I've got mail and cards and thank you letters from Canadians, Americans, the Netherlands, Italy, all over the world. It was almost overwhelming, but, you know, also beautiful to know that our message was resonating with so many people. We felt like we were definitely on the right track and doing something good.
I was proud of all of you and just supportive from the very beginning, and just couldn't believe all the different things that happened. For one, so many people I knew were sending donations, and tell us about what happened. Those got shut off, right?
They certainly did. So I'd originally set up a GoFundMe account to help these guys raise some money to get across Canada. And as we saw with GoFundMe, they ended up caving to the government and to the Ottawa City Police and shut down our GoFundMe campaign. Then the next thing they were going to do was only refund those who emailed them and requested a refund until the governor of Florida, DeSantis, actually stepped in and stepped up for us and said, oh, no, you're not. That would be fraud. And so they ended up having to refund it all. So because we had seen the writing on the wall with GoFundMe, we had started another campaign through an organization based out of the States called GiveSendGo, which is a Christian-based crowdfunding platform. And we raised another $10 million in a very short period of time. And the government came in, and they were going to seize that as soon as they tried to send that money across the border. And credit to Jacob Wells and his sister for standing up to them and saying, oh, no, you're not. We will refund this money back to the donors before you will seize this money.
So did any of the money get to the people that they were trying to send the money to? I mean, or was it all shut off? I mean, were they able to stop it all?
It was all shut off. Right now we've got just over $5 million. So what happened was GoFundMe had originally released $1 million. And we had just over 400,000 that we had received in e-transfers. So the government seen that. Next, through GiveSendGo, the payment processor, I think it was Stripe, there was about $3 million that was stuck in the payment process. So that was also seized. And then there was a couple other fundraisers. One was a Bitcoin, and one was another fundraiser that an organization in Ottawa had started called Adopt a Trucker, and that money was all seized. So there's about $5 million sitting in an escrow locked up right now. We have a civil suit. We're all being sued for $400 million for nuisance. And then we have two orders by the Attorney General of Ontario because, of course, the government wants it.
Now, you yourself, you're facing criminal charges. You're going to be on trial in September. Tell our listeners about that, if you could, tomorrow.
Yes. So, well, I was arrested on February the 17th, as was Chris Barber, a few hours before I was. We are co-accused, and we'll be facing trial together starting September the 5th. The main charge they're coming after us for is mischief. So we start on September 5th, and our trial concludes on October the 16th, which seems like an awful long time for a mischief charge. I mean, mischief here in Canada, I'm not sure about what the law is in the United States, but here in Canada, a mischief charge looks into spray painting graffiti on a wall. You know, it's so...
But you could, Tamar, you could face up to 10 years in prison, right? Is that the potential imprisonment that you could face for this? Is that correct? Wow.
Yes, that is correct. That is what the Crown Prosecutor is seeking. Now, bear in mind, neither Chris nor myself have a criminal record, no history of violence, nothing. And we had a case here about 20, 30 years ago, Paul Bernardo and Carla Homolka, a married couple who kidnapped, raped, and tortured and murdered two young teenagers. She was sentenced to 12 years in prison. So that puts that into perspective. Do you know what I mean?
Unbelievable. Tamar Leach is with us. The book is Hold the Line, My Story from the Heart of the Freedom Convoy. This was the story of the 2022 Truckers Freedom Convoy in Canada that was just so successful, so powerful, and so many people supported. How in the end did this get stopped by the government? How did it all sort of end, Tamar?
Well, I was arrested and in jail when the crackdown came, but I'll tell you that when I got home from jail, I sat on my couch and watched the footage of what happened, and I bawled like a baby for 2 days. I was absolutely astounded at the level of violence that I saw perpetrated by our law enforcement and government against peaceful protesting Canadians. And it, you know, that type of stuff is the stuff that I grew up watching on TV that happened in other countries.
Right.
Like Canada,
right.
You know, we're known as passive. We're known to be peaceful. We're known to not be confrontational. And to see that level of violence, you know, we had wounded military veterans there that were beaten, had their hands zipped tied behind their back, driven out to the middle of nowhere in Ottawa, and dropped off in February in a snowstorm. It was unbelievable, and, you know, these people have to be held to account, but it was just, it was disgraceful.
Well, and I point the finger of blame ultimately at Justin Trudeau. And he is such a radical. I mean, I don't think any of us here in the United States had any idea how far left he is. So he basically, along with the Canadian media, which is far left, called the Canadian truckers Russian agents, right? I mean, they were basically trying to say that all of you were pawns of Vladimir Putin, correct?
That is correct. We were called racists. We were called white supremacists. We were called a fringe minority that held unacceptable views. You know, we were called every ism and phobe that you can possibly be called, which is simply untrue. I mean, and we weren't even anti-vaxxers. The majority of the truckers that were in Ottawa were vaxxed. This was about our democracy and the love of freedom and getting our freedoms back. At the time that we started this, the government of Canada was telling me that my family was not allowed in my home.
Insane. I mean, it's insane. We had some of the same sort of insanity down here. And, you know, kudos to everyone who stood up against all of this government tyranny in Canada, in Europe, in the United States. And in the end, we were vindicated, I think, by all of this. These people were pushing lies. And now I think a lot of people that succumb to it regret doing it. Whatever happened in Canada with the mandates, when did they eventually crumble, Tamara?
They started to crumble within a few months of the convoy. Actually, I believe when we were still in Ottawa, the premier of the province that I live in, which is Alberta, and the premier of our neighboring province, Saskatchewan, had came out and said that they set dates for dropping the mask mandates, and they slowly fell away. Thank goodness.
So, I mean, and we saw it here too. Eventually it all crumbled and people were able to regain their freedom. But you played a very important part in this, and kudos to you and everyone that organized with you. We'll be praying for you as you face this upcoming trial. And thank you for writing this book. We're going to link to it and encourage everyone to get a copy. And tomorrow, hopefully, we can have you back on the program. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you, Jeff. You have a wonderful day.
All right. Take care. So, yeah, what a story. What a courageous fighter there. And, yeah, and that's what they do to people like Tamara. They try to put them in prison. 504-556-9696. We'll come back and wrap it up next right here on Ringside. Jeff Cruer with you on the airwaves on WGSO. We'll be right back. Are you tired of cookie cutter advertising? Do you want professionals that understand?
All right, powerful.
If so, let me recommend the Madley Group. It's a marketing agency based in St. Tammany, offering creative services such as branding and copywriting, video and photography, social media strategies, print and digital design, project management, and web design and strategies. They believe that relationships with their clients are just as important as their craftsmanship. And it's no surprise that they have an array of satisfied clients who appreciate the homegrown values of the Madley Group. Their approach is simple. Lots of listening until they fully grasp your vision. Then they put their mind power on it to deliver effective created solutions within your budget and time frame. For more information, check out themadleygroup.com or email them at info@madleygroup.com. The Madley Group, dedicated to delivering stellar work that generates results.
The American Italian Cultural Center is located at 537 South Peter Street in downtown New Orleans. At the center, you can visit our museum, where you will learn the story of America, when an expanding country after the Civil War was in need of a larger workforce, which Southern Italy was eager to supply. We are one of the city's secret multicultural gems. Explore our museum. Rent one of our beautiful event spaces. We offer dual citizenship assistance and translation services. Take an Italian language class, enjoy our concerts and lectures, and travel with us to lovely Italy. I'm Frank Maselli, chairman of the American Italian Cultural Center. Learn more at AmericanItalianCulturalCenter.com or call us at 504-522-7294. Ciao!
Hey folks, it's Jeff Cruer. When I'm hungry late at night, there's only one place that I go, TikTok Cafe. This 24-hour diner is the perfect casual place to chow down. It's tucked away at the corner of Causeway Boulevard and South I-10 Service Road in the heart of Metairie. This funky little cafe has been a neighborhood favorite since 1999. There's daily lunch specials and delicious dinner entrees, such as hearty burgers, Cajun seasoned pork chops, sirloin steaks, and the always popular country fried steak. But I love TikTok Cafe because it has breakfast 24 hours a day. From pancakes to corned beef hash, the breakfast menu is loaded with all your favorite items. Whether you're a sweet or savory breakfast eater, TikTok Cafe has something for you. For more information, check out their Facebook page at TikTok Cafe Metairie. You can always dine in or call for delivery at 834-6272. That's 834-6272. TikTok Cafe, always ready to serve you.
You know, they say a mind is a terrible thing to waste unless no one notices. Call Ringside Politics for the Punch, 556-9696.
All right, we're back. Hey, folks, I want to tell you about a group that is working hard for Louisiana voters, and that's the Louisiana Voter Information Project. And get more information at lavip.org. We've been involved in several important projects since our founding last year. We're very instrumental in making sure that girls were protected and girls' sports teams did not have to play against men or boys, helping to get that law passed in 2022. We've been working on trying to provide information on voter rolls that have the potential for fraud in Orleans. We've seen from the recall what a mess that is. So we're supporting people like Dr. Randy Ross and his organization. Eventually, we want to get this recall law passed that will make it easier to recall an elected official. We got some legislation, helped get it through committee. It was changed, so it has now been scuttled for this session. But we want to be back next year with a bill to make it easier to recall our elected officials, because we want to put more power in the hands of the voters. Corrupt elections, corrupt politicians are certainly what we're against. So get more information at lavip.org, lavip.org. That's the Louisiana Voter Information Project. All right, Jeff at WGSO.com is the email address. Anonymous writes in, Jeff, these Republican House members are not caving. They're part of the system. They're enriching themselves and doing favors. Then they receive payback on it for years to come. Jeff at WGSO.com. Doug writes in, Jeff, there's no more obvious thug signal from a Secretary of State than resisting a simple cleaning of the voter rolls. Jeff, there can be no excuse. I completely agree. Jeff at WGSO.com. Kathy writes in, Jeff, here's footage from 2020 of the Louisiana Secretary of State thanking a Fed partner for censoring misinformation. Yeah, we don't want the feds censoring. We don't want the feds telling us what we can and cannot say. We don't want social media being the policeman as to what thoughts we can have. I mean, all of that is dangerous. None of that is quote-unquote conservative. That's why I'm very glad the Secretary of State's not running again. I called him out from the very beginning as a rhino. It's a rhino. And many Republican groups were supporting him, and The Advocate was upset because I wrote columns bringing that up and talked about it on the program. And, of course, that's why I don't have a column with them anymore, because they're a left-wing rag and they didn't want the truth being presented about our Secretary of State and about issues such as voter rolls and voter machines, voting machines. Now I think we see the truth. We saw it in the Ascension canvas that was done. We saw it in the recall campaign in Orleans. The voter rolls are a mess. And whose job is that? Well, it's the Secretary of State. And he hadn't been doing his job. So should recalls be based on voter rolls? No, because they're all fraudulent. 504-556-9696. Our buddy Rusty from Jefferson is with us. How are you, sir? Good morning and welcome.
Yes, good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
I want to bring to light something that I think we've been talking about for the last couple months, and that's this transgenderism. And my concern is this, and maybe you can shed some light on it. I don't see the medical profession taking a stand against this. I see they're strangely quiet on this issue about mutilating children in particular at young ages and basically dismembering them from their genitals and breast and so on. And I don't hear the medical profession anywhere, any large extent. I saw Ben Carson on a show talking about it, and maybe another doctor, but I don't hear anything going on that speaks of with any great sound against this. And I'm wondering, are you picking up anything in the medical profession that sounds like they're really taking a stand against this stuff?
Well, unfortunately, many in the medical profession see it as lucrative. Remember, this kind of stuff was going on at Vanderbilt, where I went to school, and the medical center there was involved. They called them out, and they backed away from it, but only after being called out. And initially, they pursued it because of the fact that it made them so much money. So many of these medical centers are doing this kind of stuff because of their financial rewards. So maybe that's why you're not hearing, you know, more doctors speak out against it. I mean, it's mutilation. It is not something that should be done to people that are children. It is, I think, barbaric. It's obscene. It should be illegal. But look at what happened with the medical profession during COVID. I mean, were we pleased with the medical profession's activities during COVID? Did they did they come clean about COVID and the vaccines?
No.
A lot of them did not.
If the bottom line, that is money, is all that matters here, then the medical profession are no better than what some people have thought of lawyers. I'm not saying all lawyers are bad, but, you know, but largely people have thought the legal profession is a business, basically. But the medical profession has had a sort of moral code and concern for human beings. But now it seems like you're right, particularly here in the United States, money is all that counts. And if that's the case, then that institution or that fraternity of medical people have no more standing with us as far as moral issues anymore. And I think we should be aware of that. If they don't come out pretty soon and taking a position on this issue, then they have lost all credibility in my mind. So,
you have doctors who perform abortions. I think that is against my moral code, but the doctors that do it, that do this, doctors who are pushing vaccines. So to me, it's one of the reasons why the trust and faith and respect that a lot of Americans have for the medical industry has taken the dive. I think when you look at all the professions around the country that receive the highest marks, it used to be doctors were at the top. And I think that's changed. Mm-hmm. I think the reputation has been hurt by what's happened over the past few years. And, you know, that's a shame because you want to hold doctors in high regard. You want to view doctors as being the most cherished and honored profession. Lifesavers, right? Lifesavers.
Right. And I understand from a show that I watched that this is really big business in the United States. It's not as big in countries like Japan or even in Europe because the money is more, there's more money here. And if that's, again, like you said, the bottom line, then
we've got a problem.
No longer. We got a real big issue.
With that, my friend, we're up against it. Always a pleasure. Thank you, Rusty. Thanks to everyone who joined us today. Thank you to Patty in the studio. Check out our podcast page at WGSO.com. Check out crewair.net for the latest poll videos. And, of course, Jeff at WGSO.com to contact yours truly. Folks, have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.